Welcome back to another episode of Raw Thoughts Podcast with Mackenzie Tiggs. This week, it is going to be a little bit different than my normal interviewing guest on my podcast. They'll actually be sharing the information of a podcast that I got to be interviewed on with the studio manager, Roberto, on his podcast called Commitment to Success. So I know this week is a little bit different, but just wanted to give you a forewarning and appreciate all of your love that you guys have shown me in another episode.
Mackenzie T, that's what we'll call her. We're bringing on Mackenzie T today. Mackenzie's going to go ahead and tell you about herself. I'm very excited to talk with her, one, because I met her, I think, maybe about a little bit over a year ago now. I've been able to watch this woman start from ground zero with her podcast to developing a following of actually a subscriber base of over 100 plus just on YouTube, right?
Yes, on YouTube we're over at 100, and I have hit on Instagram over 1,000. Mm-hmm. And to tell you the truth, I don't look at my analytics very much because that's not the purpose.
It's not the purpose, but you started at what, zero?
Yep.
Never doing a podcast before, not even knowing where to start. It's just an honor to be able to speak with her. I'm really excited to start my own show back up. And so let's jump into it. Mackenzie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It's so fun.
We are going to talk about your podcast mainly. We're going to talk a little bit about what it is that you've been doing and kind of just what it has taken you to get to where you are today. The show is called The Commitment to Success because we are talking to people about what commitments they've had to make to reach the level of success that they have in their field. Success is different for everybody, as you may know, and we all see success as, you know, what we believe it is. So for you, Mackenzie, why did you even start the podcast?
Yeah, so yeah. I had for many years just thought, you know, it would be super fun to have a podcast. Everything I've done in life, I have a passion for people.
Right.
I have been an EMT, a wildland firefighter, paramedic, and now most recent, I am a Idaho realtor and podcast host.
I see the connections.
There's so many, right? The common denominator is people and helping them. And I think every person really, truly does want to help people. But it's who we are and how we can give that help to each person.
Right.
So really what catapulted my podcast was a family vacation in the beginning of 2022 in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And we all just as a family were so connected on that trip. We really were talking about vulnerable topics, what needed to change in our lives and what we wanted to do. And I was actually in the cabana. I was sick as hell. And I, you know, they were talking about, I want to do this and this needs to happen in my life. And I just rolled over and I was like, I want to start a podcast and the name is going to be Raw Thoughts. And my whole family was like, you should, you'd be amazing at it. And so they were really what had, you know, driven my force. I had told a couple other people about it. But it was that next step. I needed to be able to tell it to somebody to then keep me accountable for it. It actually happens that Sarah Brewer, who is not
look
here.
Look at you, Sarah. Jeez, it's connecting everybody.
She actually was the one that gave me the information to the studio. I had thought about in the beginning doing it by myself. Right. I looked into all of the equipment. I had actually reached out to Kate McGuire. I can't even think of her name right now. Local, she was a DJ. And she has her own podcast as well, had all the equipment. I reached out to her, had a coffee date. And I was like, nope, I am not spending my time. I am not spending my energy. Because if I do the editing, I'm not taking the time to actually talk with my guest. Yep. And it's going to be overwhelming. And that is not what I want.
Right.
So I diverted and I reached out to the studio, SB Studios, and I got rolling.
Nice.
And I didn't know exactly what I was doing. I very minimally had a plan. I always tell people I jumped off the cliff and I'm building my parachute as I go down.
So something I want to touch on really quick is you made a very good point to bring up, which was you knew that there was going to be barriers entering this venture. And you did not want to hit those barriers. So you made an active decision to find a way to navigate around those, whether they were with resources or they were, you know, just taking an alternative route. Why didn't you just not do it?
Because why not?
I mean, a lot of people choose not to do a lot of things in their lives nowadays. And frankly, you didn't know how the podcast was ever going to turn out. You didn't know if you're going to make it past episode 6, and you're on episode, what, 50-something?
Yeah. I just released episode 49.
Right.
In February, I will be completed 1 year of podcasting and releasing an episode every single
week. Super proud of you. Like, honestly, that's killer.
It's a lot.
Yeah. No, it is. You're actually one of our longest standing podcasters, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you're one of the top 5 now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, to answer your question of, why did I not allow those barriers to overcome me? And I say why not because that really was kind of my term in Mexico.
Right.
One of the waiters would come, you know, at breakfast time and he'd say, do you want a Bloody Mary? Do you want a mimosa? You know, why not? Why not have all of them?
We're not condoning day drinking, folks, but yes, I agree.
Right? Yeah, and right. I'm guilty. Yeah. Like, we were on vacation. I was like, sure. Yeah, bring me every flavor of mimosa, why not? Like, yeah, we're on vacation.
Yeah, of course.
And there was this little thing in me that was like, why can't I translate this to the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. Why can't I come home from this vacation and still have that mindset of mm-hmm. why not? And it was only me that was limiting it. And yep. So when I started the podcast, one of my first episodes was actually called Why Not?
Mm-hmm. I remember that one.
Through all of these episodes, it's just connecting with people. It's really bringing the vulnerable topics out that mm-hmm. nobody tends to have.
Right.
Throughout my entire life, I've always been that person that people feel comfortable and safe and like they can open up.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to take it to that next level of, if I can have these conversations and I can get so much benefit out of them, why don't I share it to the world?
Mm-hmm.
And people want to come to me and say, yeah. Hey, I've had this really shitty thing happen to me. I want to be able to share it with the world.
Yep.
And I said, okay, come on.
Let's do it.
I don't have any barrier, you know, limitations to who I bring onto the podcast of what topics we talk about.
Right.
There's so much diversity in there that if you can listen to every single podcast and have an open mind in that diversity, you will learn something.
You will absolutely learn something. And not only that, you will develop a new thought process. It's funny because I can tie the new technology that we're seeing today, people want to talk about AI and all this stuff, to actual still current human behaviors, which is you're just a summary of all your experiences in life, and your mindset is really just a reflection of those things that you've seen, those things that you've interacted with. And you're absolutely right. Like, frankly, it's not obvious, but it is very clear as you get older that the things that you have dealt with in life have shifted and curated the mindset that you end up having as you grow.
Yeah. And I think so many people could, you know, we talk about success, but there's also that part of failure.
Right.
And I don't specifically believe in failure because you can learn
mm-hmm.
from not making it. And there's so much to learn in those aspects of what didn't work mm-hmm. versus what did work.
Right.
And so when you have success, it's your own, you know, determinant of what that failure looks like.
Yep.
Some people could look at my career as being a paramedic and say, oh, she failed as being a paramedic because she didn't last in 911 for more than, you know, 3 years, because that is a statistic.
Yeah.
Where I say, well, actually, I didn't fail because I'm taking that knowledge that I took, and that was a stepping stone. I couldn't be in real estate if I didn't be, you know, if I wasn't in paramedic. My surroundings, the variables that, you know, made me get into real estate, I could have never planned for those.
Yeah.
And I think also having that perspective of being a paramedic and responding to people's typically worst days of their lives.
Right.
It's not like they planned that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't plan that they were going to drive to Twin Falls and that somebody was going to, you know, sideswipe them, that then made their car roll and now they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Also, as being a paramedic, I saw how quick our lives can change.
Absolutely.
And so why are we not taking more control? Why are we not taking these chances to be something versus being stuck in a place of being so afraid because you don't know what's going to happen?
What I've learned to come to conclusion with after just, you know, just living, going to school, studying all the stuff that I study and being passionate about what I'm passionate about, I've concluded that it really comes down to what is called the unknown factor. I guess scholarly, it is actually known as the uncertainty principle in society. And the uncertainty principle is really the law of society where humans don't like the unknown. Most of the times, people are really just afraid of what might happen because they don't know, or what wouldn't happen because, again, they don't know. And it really just keeps you in a box. And uncertainty really drives a lot of, I would say, society's biggest waves and trends, because we just assume that we know how it is going to end up. And if we don't know how it's going to end up, we start developing these ideas and people start coming up with just concepts. And it gets really confusing. It's a very hard and a very big topic to be able to unravel in just like a small episode. But it really comes down to just not knowing what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you right now, if you live like that for the rest of your life, you're not going to get anywhere.
No.
It's a very difficult and a very scary place to be when you're always fearful about what's next.
Here's the thing, is that when we don't know, we always assume that something bad's going to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, generally I could agree with that. Yeah.
But what if something good happened?
Exactly.
And I'll tell this story really quick because it really connects with what we are talking about currently of my podcast and having these connections and the unknowns and honestly seeing that growth with there.
Right.
A few weeks back, I was traveling down the interstate and there happened to be a gentleman that wrecked his motorcycle. I have the knowledge. I have, you know, I'm trained in that.
I saw about this online.
I happen to be one of those people that are just the right people at somebody else's wrong time. So, you know, I got up there, helped the guy out. The fire department comes and, you know, I'm still helping them get the guy in the back of the ambulance. I go to the fire truck, get, you know, wipes to wipe off my hands. There's blood everywhere. Just so everybody knows, the guy did survive. He's totally okay. And I was wiping my hands and I asked one of the Caldwell Fire Department guys, I said, hey, I said, when does Brian Walker work next? He was just on, I didn't say anything about my podcast. I said, when does Brian Walker work next? And he goes, you're the podcast girl. And I was like, yes, yes, I am the podcast
yeah,
girl.
That's me. Yep.
And he was like, you didn't even realize it, but he was right next to you. So he happened to be on the other side of this gentleman that was injured, cutting off his leathers as was on the other side. He recognized me. He knew, he knew exactly who I was. Brian did. He had actually said, here you go, Mackenzie, and gave me the scissors. And I was just totally in my mode.
Yeah.
And, but here's the thing is that after that situation happened, they then went back to the station and they were able to bring up the podcast that we had.
Okay.
And they talked about it. And his was very vulnerable, talking about a time where he had a gun in his, you know, hands and was about to kill himself.
Yes. I think I remember this clip and episode. Yep.
Yeah. And they had a discussion. They were able to openly talk about it. But my point to it is that I could have never, ever planned that. I could have never planned that this guy was going to have a motorcycle wreck two cars in front of me. And then the person that I had on my podcast was the one that responded. And then they went back and saw that episode. Those things you can't plan for.
Yeah.
And those are those little bits of amazing things that do keep me going with the podcast.
Yeah.
Is that you're right. I could have not got to one year. Yeah. And I could have not gone to, you know, every single week producing an episode. But also, I could have never planned for how amazing it has turned out.
Of course. And that's a perfect story for what I'm about to say next, is that people have developed, and you talked about it already, what their definition of failure is, right? In my, I guess, heart and mind of it, failure only ever comes into our lives when we actually stop trying on something and it's over and it's just done. There's no way that anyone can say that you failed as a paramedic. You would have failed if you wouldn't been able to help that guy, but look what you did, right? You did it. You're fine. A paramedic is a title. It's a role that we have to fill in a hospital. but nobody wants to talk about how you can save somebody's life as just a regular person.
Yeah.
Not saying you're just a regular person, Mackenzie, but you obviously have been able to learn from that industry and you've been able to develop a lot of skill sets from it. So to anybody that's ever told you that you feel that being a paramedic, they're just wrong.
Yeah. And yeah. I think it's, you know, I think it's just that little voice that tells you in your head, right? Mm-hmm. And I talk to a lot of people where they say, oh, they're going to tell me I'm a failure because I quit.
Right.
Are you actually quitting or are you pivoting?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is where success and failure comes in, is right. that when you learn what's not working, like I've said, you have to make a choice to say, well, what is? And you may not know what is actually working, but you know what's not working.
So hold that thought. So then what has been the hardest thing since you started your podcast with it?
Oh, there's a lot of grit in here.
Yeah,
starting
for sure.
A podcast. Mm-hmm. I think it is
from going from zero listeners every week to 1,000 plus every week. What was the hardest thing so far?
I think the hardest thing is in the beginning, and I still have a hard time with it. Mm-hmm. Describing to people what the purpose is.
Yeah,
I know that there's a purpose, and I know having a place for people to be heard is so valuable and to have these vulnerable conversations. But I think what's really hard is that when there is somebody that says, well, why are you even doing this?
Yeah.
And it is a complete passion of mine to be able to connect with these people. But there does have to be a scale of how do I continue to do this and not burn myself out with the conversations that I have?
Yeah.
The other thing, too, with, you know, going from zero to where I am now, it's those tiny, tiny, tiny wins that you mm-hmm. have to hold on to.
Absolutely.
And you have to celebrate them. And it sounds so much easier than it's actually done. You know, people are like, oh, 1,000 views, you know, mm-hmm. 1,000 people.
I was literally about to say the same thing because, I've literally been dealing with this for the past couple of years from when we started this thing. And I remember sharing about my first client and everyone's like, oh, you have one podcast.
It's more than what you did.
Yep, more than what I had before. And, oh, you have 30 views on this new client. It's more than zero.
Yeah.
And now we're at the point where, my most kind of memorable, and yeah, it was a small win for me, and it was a win for you because it was part of your content, but I posted about the video that we created that got, the 1.4 million views. And I remember telling a couple people about it, and they're like, that's cool, dude, like, whatever. And I'm like, yeah.
Because they want even bigger, right? Mm-hmm. They can't succeed. They can't really grasp
right.
the fact that it's, oh, well, it didn't go viral, or, oh, it didn't this. Do you realize that you have to have the first one to get the 21,000, and you have to have the 500 to still also get that 21,000? You have to have every single one of those little things mm-hmm. to start adding up to the big ones.
Yep. The way I look at it is we had to produce 142 podcasts before we had one clip go viral like that.
And you wouldn't have gone viral if you hadn't ever started.
No. And that's why it was a very grateful moment because I remember just wanting to share more of what everyone does around here. And the fact that 1.4 million people even saw your face or Jared's face is incredible.
Yeah.
Makes me very happy. Yeah.
I will kind of interject on that as well for success is that so many people want everything to go viral or want everything to be honestly zero to 100 overnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm guilty. I did for a while until I realized the truth.
Yeah. It may take longer than somebody else. It may take, you know, 2 years before you get a video that goes viral.
Mm-hmm.
But it is all of those steps that you're taking in the direction that you want to that are building up and making that momentum to what you want to go for. And if you truly want to succeed at what you are doing, whether that be if you want to succeed writing a book or starting a podcast or changing your jobs, whatever that X variable is
right.
that you want to see your success in, you have to be okay with those days that nothing happens.
Yeah.
You
absolutely do.
That is they will start flourishing, right? That your little seeds that you're planting, and I've said this, you know, almost my entire life, that all I'm doing is just planting little seeds. And if you plant 100 seeds in a regular garden bed, not every 100 seed is actually going to blossom.
Yep.
But you wouldn't have 90 of them if you didn't plant 100 of them.
100%. Yep.
You know?
Yeah. It's the idea of, I would say, abundance, kind of, and just the principle of if you keep on going and you keep on trying, determination, grit, discipline, it's really hard to say it, but something's going to hit eventually.
Yeah.
It will.
And I think saying yes to the things that you don't want to say yes to.
Yes, to 100%, to an extent, I would say, because you need to be able to push yourself out of your comfort zone. 100% agree. But learning when it is time is very important too, because I think when we get to a place where we're comparing ourselves to others, or where we are, you know, well, I don't have this many followers, or I haven't done this, or I haven't got the chance to cross this off my bucket list. And you try to force it. Generally, it doesn't work out. You may embarrass yourself. You may feel ashamed. You may feel scared, or it may even ruin your motivation to keep on going. And I'm a very big proponent from the last 2 years, mainly just really the last year, of learning how to not force a lot of things, letting things come as they do, because I've laid down the path for them to show up, not because I'm forcing it to show up.
Mm-hmm.
You apply that to love, you apply that to relationships, you apply that to friends, you can apply it to anything. Why would you ever force something that's not meant to be?
Yeah.
You can always aspire to achieve it. You can always aspire to accomplish something very similar, but there's going to be a different version of what you anticipated. And when you are able to accept that version, I think that's generally when people do find their little realm of success or their happiness. And they're like, I guess this is what it is. This is what it's like. And you tend to start to think a little differently. You tend to start to approach things differently. And you'll start to say to yourself that not everything's all that bad. You know, it could be okay for me. It's going to be okay for everyone else. And that's how I think we help each other, you know, get up again.
Yeah. And I think the part of the saying yes is that, you know, being in real estate, one example is open houses. You know, when people start growing, they think that they're too good for the things that they had to do when they started out.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't learn, or you wouldn't know those things if you hadn't said yes.
Right.
You know, a lot of my success in real estate has been saying yes to open houses.
Mm-hmm.
And to...
Do you like open houses?
They're not terrible.
But you might get my point. You don't...
Yeah.
You know you have to do them.
I know I have to do them. The other part of it, too, of saying yes, is that you don't know what opportunities could be brought to you with saying those things.
For sure.
I think the other part of saying yes, you know, comes to, and I think it's more or less not thinking that you're too good to do what you used to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I didn't realize how you just said it, but that's such a good one. And that's something that it's what people call it, humbling themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
You know, and especially in the world of, you know, being a paramedic and an EMT, there has been many people that I've worked with. They say, well, I don't do that. I'm a paramedic, not an EMT. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're also human.
Yeah.
And that's also, you know, in the industry of being in real estate, people get so much glam and glory, and they're up, you know, at the top of the pyramid. And
right.
They say, oh, I'm too good to do that.
I don't do the open house.
I don't do whatever that is anymore.
Yep.
And that's okay if you're in that position, but I think it's the snarkiness or saying that I'm better than you and I don't do that. I think that is the distinguishing factor of being okay to be at the top and still helping that hand at the bottom, because you didn't get there by yourself.
So, and that's the thing. I think a lot of the time people will forget to remember, you know, some of those moments of when they were helped or when they had that helping hand. Do you have any memories of like a clarifying moment that made you realize that you were on the right path with the podcast to keep on doing it? Or was there ever a time where you envisioned something that you were doing for the podcast and you're like, shoot, I got to make that happen, kind of just made it happen. Whether, I guess, it was personal, but kind of related to the podcast. Do you have anything that like that, that was for you?
Yeah, there's been many times. I think truly what has continued to allow me to go with the podcast is the feedback of people that love hearing the diverse conversations. I've always said that I am an open platform and I allow people to really have their voice be heard. There's been a couple episodes where I have recorded with my guest and I'm like, that's not going to do well. I don't want to. There was one I honestly didn't want to produce.
Yeah.
I was like, how do we get around this? Like, what do I say?
I don't know what to do now. Yeah.
And I had to stop myself and I'm like, Mackenzie, if I did that, then I'm actually not following through what I tell people I do. And who am I to judge somebody's conversation that I had? Because I'm the one asking the questions. I'm the one prompting them. I'm not the one listening exactly. And I actually had a situation where one of the episodes, it was not my favorite conversation.
Right.
And that is, it wasn't that it wasn't a meaningful conversation. It was the way of how I had to ask my questions and what questions I had to ask.
Yeah.
Yet that episode saved somebody's life.
Yep.
And I bawled. Not only because that episode got to save somebody's life, but it really came over me of, I'm not here to be the judge of the episode. I'm not here to be the judge of criticizing what the conversation is. Mm-hmm. The person that listened to that episode or any of my episodes will listen and will get what they need out of it.
Yep.
And so I think just through all of these things, hearing the feedback from my community, my supporters, you know, my family of you're going down it, you know, you're opening up such great conversations in depth with people. And that is bringing, you know, community, that's bringing connection, that's bringing bond, which we as humans need.
Absolutely.
To thrive in life.
Right.
And so I think with those, I had to change my own mindset with the podcast and saying every episode will get released.
Good.
Because I am not the judge to say if it was good or not.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I love that. And it's really funny. Every time I hear you talk, and since I've met you, I've had to deal with a lot of very similar experiences and have had very similar moments. We actually, when we first started the company, we had a creator that signed up and didn't know who they were. They're from out of town, and they were part of the original studio launch. He was starting a show, and out of nowhere, we get an email from this lady, and she starts swearing on the email, starts cursing. We don't even read the whole email yet, and she's calling us. Like, that's how quick it was. Calls 3-4 times, and I'm like, why is the phone ringing? What's this email? Like, what's, like, people are talking, chattering, and everything. Turns out, the gentleman that we had allowed in our studio was supposedly being investigated for something that had to do with kids and him being involved with them, whether it was through the school, personally, family, whatever. She's calling and she's calling. She does this for 2 weeks straight. She writes emails. She starts sending us letters. And then she goes as far as starts creating videos. And she starts sending them to us. She starts sending us screenshots of all these messages and all these things. And we decided to bring the guy. We were like, no, we can't do this. We bring the guy in. We sit him down. And we're like, hey, man, what's going on? We're like, we're going to tell you this. We're just going to be straight up with you. There's a lady messaging us right now. She's even saying she's going to march down here to the studio with protesters, with the school. Like, what? Do you know anything about this? And I could just see it in him that he was very uncomfortable. He was pretty upset. And he literally just goes, you know, he goes, you guys can believe me or not. Like, he was kind of done. Like, and I understood it. I don't want to get too deep into this point of it, but the hardest part was just that there was this person that was trying, from our eyes, trying to help people. He was doing things. He was a coach or something, and he was just spreading more awareness about the topic he was talking about. It was had to do with sports and like injuries and athletics and figuring out how to get from high school to college and in sports. And he had dated the woman. He dated the woman. She found out some personal stuff about him, his family, all this stuff, and she just started attacking him. And it was very interesting because the first time in our lives we were given, I guess, an option to like just take what somebody said and just accept it and then almost just completely deny this other person that has a voice and has an opinion and has a story and has a side and everything, to really seeing what it, the purpose of the whole business in the studio was. And at the time, this was like their 10th client. She says, if we keep letting him record, she's not going to let this go and she's going to come after us. She said it was our fault. I remember I get on the phone with her. I can't remember her name. She's yelling at me. And I was like, you need to listen here for 1 second. I said, I don't know him. I don't know you. But what I do know is it's not my job to tell you or to tell him what you guys can and can't do in your lives or what you guys can and can't talk about. If you guys are going to end up hurting people or you guys are going to end up lying, cheating, and stealing, that's on you guys. I was like, but who am I to allow or to allow you to tell me to do this to him? And who am I to shut him down? And she goes, well, you have to believe me. Well, what? And it just really started to come down to this whole idea of when we allow other people's needs, desires, wants, beliefs influence our own personal, like internal system, that's how you see those changes in society where people can't speak up anymore. They can't go out and they can't talk about what hurt them or what has made them scared. Girls can't talk about being hurt by men, and men can't talk about being hurt by girls. And it really creates this box that society will put people in, men and women, and you follow the rules, you follow the definitions, you follow whatever it is. And if somebody's coming after you for anything sexual, he probably did it then. If someone's coming after her for anything, she probably did it then. And it starts to create this, these definitions and these roles that people are, I guess, just allowing to, like, they take it into them. And they're like, yeah, I guess I don't really know what to do anymore about it. And it's just really hard to see and to talk about because the last thing I ever want to do is tell people or tell anybody that they can't talk or they can't share their voice. That's the reason why I started this whole thing is because I've struggled with that since I was a little kid. It was from my father. It was from my teachers. My mom, too. I mean, she's learned better and she's great. Thank you, Mom. But at the same time, it's always been a journey of figuring out to what you can and can't say because somebody else has a problem with it. And when we started the studio and kind of your story that you just told me, that's a reminding of that story of this gentleman that he's just trying to do his thing. And when we really can't heal as humans or as a society and learn to accept indifferences and pain and problems and struggles, we're never going to get any better. And people like that and people like the podcast that you were talking about, they'll never get a chance to be able to be heard by anybody. And that sucks. Mm-hmm. That really does suck. It kills me to think about that because I know not everybody has the opportunity to do what we do, but if you come in this studio and you want to talk about your story, we generally will let you, and we generally almost just do it just because. And so when you mentioned that story, it reminded me of that one moment when it was literally like the third week of the studio too. But having that much, I guess, say and everything, I don't think anybody should have that much power. It's
judgment.
Yeah. It's judgment. Yeah, it's judgment that should not be casted.
And I think the way that our society is going is that we judge